In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Lord gives us a command at the end of the first gospel, the one for the third Sunday after Pentecost, already the third Sunday. He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And of course, that is an obligatory command, an important one. But it is also one that is difficult to understand. Oh, we certainly understand, when we parse it, we understand its meaning, but we have no idea how to fulfill it. This is why the gospel and our Lord's life and the life of the church teaches us how to fulfill this command. And in fact, the preceding teaching of the Lord is telling us how to fulfill this command. And it really boils down to this: how you think, what's important to you. Over and over, he says in this gospel, don't be anxious about this, don't be anxious about that. Some translations will say, why do you take thought about this? Well, anxiety is thinking about stuff, but not getting anything done, right? Just being worried about stuff. To find our way to be able to fulfill this commandment of seeking first the kingdom of God, we must learn how to think. And the Lord is teaching us in this gospel how to think. Now, if something's important to you, you're going to be concerned about it. You're going to try to obtain it. And if you cannot obtain it, you're going to be worried in some way. Well, the fact that we are filled with anxiety shows that we are trying to obtain things that are not good for us. See, if you are struggling to obtain God and the Holy Spirit, you won't have anxiety as the Spirit fills you. But if you're struggling to obtain anything worldly, then the worldliness seeps into you and darkens everything. That's what the Lord is teaching here. He's saying that the light of the body is the eye. Well, why does he use the eye as this image? Because with the eye we see and we desire. You should look at yourself. What kinds of things do you desire? Just look at the way you spend your time. That gives you a good indication of what you desire. Maybe this week chart how much you pray and how much you watch television, and how much you look at your Facebook, and how much you do this and that and the other thing. You might be rather shocked at how little you pray compared to all the other things. It must mean that you value the other things more than prayer. Now, prayer is hard, there's no doubt about it. But it becomes easier as you do it, because God gives you consolation, and God gives you skill in prayer, to be able to pay attention, to be able to not have all those thoughts bombard you during prayer, to not get bored, to not get tired, to not say your feet hurt, all those kinds of things, or even get angry during prayer. Have that ever happened to you? You ever pray for somebody that you're having trouble with and you're angry when you're praying? I'll tell you what you should do when that happens. Keep praying. Absolutely. Ignore it. Or maybe be like the child who doesn't want to hear somebody. You know, when we were children, what did you do when you were mad at somebody and you didn't want to hear them talking to you, right? You stuck your fingers in your ears, right? And you went, nah, 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 I don't hear you, right? Well, that's how our prayer should be. Don't let the thoughts be heard. Drown them out with prayer. Because only with prayer will you find peace. Now, you have to learn to deal with your desires and be honest about them. Because the Lord says, if your eye is single, or if your eye is whole, if your desires are good, then your whole body is full of light. That light he's speaking of is the Holy Spirit that your body will be filled with. And that's the only way to have true joy. Nothing else gives joy. Everything else we can obtain gives us momentary satisfaction. But always, brings about anxiety, depression, difficulties. Nothing you can obtain in the world when you obtain it instead of God. Nothing can give you happiness. This is a secret very few people know, even people that are Christian. So if your eye is good, if your desires are good, your whole body will be full of light. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. But if your eye is evil, look what he says. Your whole body is full of darkness. So if you have bad desires and you do not struggle against them, your whole body will be filled with darkness. Where there is darkness, there is not light. And since light is the Holy Spirit, if you have bad desires and are attached to them, the Holy Spirit's not with you. This is very frightening. He says, if the light in thee is darkness, which of course is an oxymoron, light cannot be darkness. So if there's darkness in you, how great is that darkness? You're bereft of God if your desires are not in keeping with him. I've told you before, don't be afraid of sin. It's absolutely true. But be afraid of not repenting from sin. If you have weaknesses and you fall, God will help you with all of those. But if you have bad priorities and you don't change them, then you will get progressively darker and darker. That's a fact. So what you need to work on is your priorities. Because God will help you if you work on them. You have to work on desiring that which is good and not that which is bad. So the world tells you an awful lot of things that are bad are good, or enlightening, or you're not bigoted if you believe in certain things and accept certain things. But we know that there is good and there is bad, so follow good. Train your eye to look for that which is good. Now, how are you going to do that? My Christian life has been a sojourn in trying to learn how to do that. Because the gospel is very clear. Seek first the kingdom of God. And when I read that, I knew it was true. And I knew I wanted to do it. And I also knew I had no real understanding of how to do it. The way you do it is by continually struggling with your passions, with God helping you, reassessing, reevaluating, and changing your priorities, praying, fasting, availing yourself of especially reading the gospel with intent, with desire, and the services. Now, perhaps that sounds trite or repetitive. I might have said it now for the 1800th time. But what we're trying to do here, if we're Christians, is we're trying to become all light. You have to change the way you think to become all light. You have to change what's important to you to become all light. Not one of us should dare to say, without equivocation, boldly, that we love God. Because we show the way we live that we often don't love him. Now we can dare to say in a whisper that we love God a little and that we want to love him more. And God will take that whisper and he'll make it into a roar where we'll be able to say we love God fully. The key is learn to desire good things. Now, a lot of bad things we have a natural affinity for. The eye likes things. Not just the physical eye, but also the eye of the soul. The eye of the soul likes jealousy, pride, vainglory, power, all these sorts of things. And of course, the eye, the physical eye, likes things that appeal to the flesh. You have to retrain it. The retraining it is learning about your thoughts. He says over and over, do not be anxious for your life what you shall eat, Which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his stature? And why are you anxious for raiment? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? So the key is, learn to modify your thoughts. And I found only one thing so far that works without fail in modifying my thoughts. And it works relatively quickly, sometimes immediately, sometimes over some protracted period, and sometimes, to be honest with you, over a period of years. Prayer. Prayer with desire, prayer with expectation, prayer with pain. And the Jesus prayer is one of the most effective. I find it to be the way that I can cry out to God, say, help me. Now, in the midst of saying this prayer, oh my goodness, all kinds of thoughts come in. All kinds of anxieties come in. So I'm going to be just like that child, like I told you. Stick my fingers in my ears and pray harder and louder. Now me, you guys know that I don't like noises, so I actually pray silently. But I pray very loud in my heart. And you should too. Learn to evaluate your thoughts. Basically, every situation you go into, how you think is how you are. 99% of our sin is in our thought. When we're unhappy, it is because we're not thinking correctly. When we're anxious, it's because we're thinking of some situation rather than God. Even if we're praying to God, if we're still full of unhappiness or full of anxiety, we should understand that that's because we have this weakness and some bad thoughts. How you think is how you are. Absolutely. You have to learn to modify your thoughts. This is very advanced now, okay? This is something that's very difficult to do. So you better get started, because it really takes a long time to get good at it. Learn that when you have anxiety in your heart, it's always because of lack of faith. Always. And that lack of faith might be manifesting itself by having a desire for something that you shouldn't have a desire for. Or being angry about something that you shouldn't be angry about. Or jealous. Or whatever other passion there is. Many times they are hidden passions and we don't really see them. We just have a vague feeling cruddy in our heart. Listless. Lazy. Sort of directionless. I hate that feeling. That feeling happens to me all the time. And when I'm smart, I pray. And I can't tell you absolutely that feeling all the time lifts completely. But there is a feeling of God consoling me when I pray. Just as simply as, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I have many cares in this world, being a pastor. I can't even keep track how many people that I'm concerned about. It numbers really, I think, in the hundreds now. And if I think about a given situation and a given person and a given track or history or possibilities, it's just makes my head want to explode. But when I pray for that person, then there is a feeling of I won't call it contentment, but there's a feeling of things are going to work out. I think it's the Holy Spirit holding me, touching me, comforting me. It'll happen to you too. You'll notice, those of you who confess to me, for almost anything that you confess, especially if it's a thought, a feeling, a person you're having trouble with, I ask you, have you prayed? Do you pray for that person? How much do you pray for that person? Saying, Lord, have mercy upon somebody once as you start your car doesn't count. How much are you praying for them? You must pray in a proportion to the anxiety you feel.
drown it out. Now, the Lord in this teaching here is not teaching us specifically about prayer, but this is the background for why we need to pray. Because he's telling you, don't be anxious. Well, telling somebody not to be anxious is like saying, go stand in a corner and don't think of a big white bear. It's not possible without background, without a skill. You can't just snap your fingers and not be anxious. You can't just snap your fingers and seek first the kingdom of God. There's all these other things that you want to seek too, that you have to learn to not want to seek. You do it through prayer, through fasting, through struggle. And then you'll learn to seek first the kingdom of God. So really, this gospel is extremely advanced. And you must read these gospels to find these kind of riches, these jewels of how to live and how to act. Your problems are because you don't think right. I guarantee you. Absolutely, positively. Learn to think right. And the way you learn to think right is you cry out to God and you struggle to follow the commandments. And you use the things that will help you to follow the commandments. Fasting is... I don't see how a person can be saved without fasting. Because our weaknesses are such that they obliterate us if we don't have some rigor in our life. So fasting is a big part of it. Not because fasting is a requirement or else you're going to go to hell. But because we need something that reminds us of God and strengthens us and gives us sort of a baseline, sort of a solid floor to stand on. So even when we're having a terrible day, we're remembering God at least by what we're eating. Not because of some legalistic idea, but because we're holding on like to a lifeline. If you do these things, even if you do them just a little bit, if you're not accustomed to doing them much, do them a little bit more than you did yesterday. If your Bible is dusty, dust it off and read a chapter a day. If you can't read a chapter a day, read a paragraph. Read one psalm. Do something. If you're not accustomed to coming to church very much, come a little bit more. If you're not fasting at all, then begin by fasting from something. God will reward you because you will be turning your priorities towards Him. And He'll help you to turn the rest of them. Truly, this is a magnificent gospel that teaches us how we are to live. It gives us the command, but it doesn't leave us bereft of the instruction of how to follow the command. Learn to turn your desires to God. And the way you learn is by learning to control your thoughts. And you control your thoughts by prayer and by effort in following the commandments. It'll happen. In my poor, miserable life, there are some things that I just don't do anymore. And I thank the Lord for it. There are some things that I have been able to be victorious over, or the Lord has helped me to be victorious over. It'll happen to you too. God will help you. Amen.